Good morning. A woman was shopping for something to wear to her 50th high school reunion when a group of teenage girls came into the same shop to try on dresses for their school formal. "Gross," complained one girl loudly to her friends. "This dress makes me look 40 years old." "May I have it?" called out the lady. "That's just what I'm looking for." Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, skip 16, and 17 and 18 says this. "He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him." I want to ask a question this morning. You don't have to respond. Spouses, don't look at each other. Do you like who you are? Do you ask yourself that very often? It's kind of a personal question, so I'm not asking for a response. But do you like who you are? I think it's something that we don't think about too often, but it's something that maybe we should think about a little more often. Perhaps to rephrase this question, do you like who you are in Christ? That would be a little bit more important than asking, do I like who I am? But do you like who you're becoming in Christ? That's a question that's really, really important. But I think we become so busy with our lives that we often don't really ponder on that. We're becoming a culture that doesn't really ponder on things very often. There are studies out that say the more screen time a person has, the less self-reflection you take time for. But it's something that we really should think about. Do I like who I'm becoming in Christ? Every so often, we need to pause and have a time to reflect on who we are, where we're headed. And perhaps every so often in life or portions of your life, you just need to hit reset because some changes need to take place. Now, I'm going to ask a little easier question. How many of you are ready to go Christmas shopping? Anybody just looking forward to going Christmas shopping yet? Nobody? Not one? Done? Done. Pam's ready to go. Jerry, you're getting a lot of stuff for Christmas, I guess. Well, it's coming up. It was like 3 weeks before Halloween. I went to Walmart, and there were like three aisles of Christmas stuff already. Christmas trees up downtown already. We're ready. We were thinking about it. But I read an article this week. It was talking about some of the most famous Christmas gifts throughout the decades. In 1960, can anybody guess the most popular Christmas gift? It was the Chatty Cathy. Anybody have a Chatty Cathy when you grew up? Anybody? Bill didn't get one? Man. In 1983, that was a good year. That's when I was born. 1983, the Cabbage Patch Doll. Who had a Cabbage Patch Doll when you grew up? Any men going to raise your hands? A pup did. Word of advice, pup, don't ever do that again. Now take your man card. The Cabbage Patch Doll, pretty popular gift in 1983. Fast forward, 1996, Beanie Babies. Anybody have Beanie Babies? That was a multi-million dollar deal. That guy that came up with those things made a lot of money. Fast forward, 2017, it's a couple years ago, the classic Nintendo. I got one of these. The classic Nintendo. Anybody have a classic Nintendo? Those first ones that came out? I remember, I was young. It was either 88 or 89. I was about five-ish years old. I remember getting the classic Nintendo. You know, back then we had TV, but it was like 12 channels. You know, you had to actually walk up and you turned a dial. There was no advertisement of this. There was no internet to get you hyped up. I just opened it up and I'm just like, you know, as a kid, what is this? My dad had seen it on TV or heard about it, I guess, and plugged it in and played and Duck Hunt. Had the little gun, whack, 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 whack. And you know, and the dog would laugh at you when you missed. And Super Mario Brothers, I mean, that was just, it was mind-blowing. I was used to playing with sticks and in the dirt and basketball and in the toys. And then I got to play on that. That was kind of mind-blowing for me. And that game was interesting. If it wasn't working quite right, you remember what you did? You popped out the cartridge. And I don't know if there was a user's manual or who figured this out, but you blew in it and it magically fixed it and you put it back in and it worked. How that came to be, I have no idea. But and so people in my generation, we're like rewired in the brain that like if my cell phone's not working, I'll catch myself and my kids will look at me. I'm going, and like, why are you blowing on your phone? It fixed Nintendo. It works. It's like duct tape. It fixes everything. Now, if you look at this, I don't know if you can tell, but below the Nintendo label there on the game console, there's a power button and a reset button. And if you're playing Super Mario Brothers, and one of them sliding turtles takes you out, and it made you mad, and you're not playing like you thought you would, you just walked up to the game console, and you push reset, and it started over again as if nothing ever happened. Are there times in life where you think, man, I wish I could just hit the reset button? This day was awful. That conversation needed to, I wish it never would have happened. That incident at work, it needs to be erased. That conversation with my wife, I didn't take out the trash or whatever. I wish I could reset that day. There's times in our life where if we could just hit the reset button, we feel like that would have just changed things dramatically, drastically. How cool would that be? But I want you to know that as you read throughout the New Testament, you read that in Christ, your life can be reset. Oftentimes, it's described in the New Testament, we just read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that the old life is gone and the new has begun. That when you find yourself in Christ, your life, because of Jesus, has been reset. And no longer do you have to live in the old life, but now you have a new beginning, a new life in Christ. And Christ can do that. He has the power to do so. In the city of Corinth, their culture mirrored ours quite a bit. Even though it was a couple thousand years ago, they valued self-expression and fashion and architecture and self-power and reliance and wealth. They valued the same things that we value here in America as we speak. And they, like we do, tend to think, if I want to make myself better, then I have to be inwardly focused to make myself better. And the Apostle Paul knew that this culture believed this. And so that's why Paul wrote what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, because he knew he needed them to know that if you want to be better, have a better life, it's not about you, but it's about Christ in you. That you yourself will not make things better, but to reset your life, you do that because and through Jesus Christ. The old life is self-absorbed, but the new life is selfless. And we choose to live for the one who died for us. The gospel isn't a self-help, but rather it's a you can't help yourself. That's why Christ went to the cross and died for us to empower us with the Holy Spirit as well. And that's a game changer in this life. If we feel that life has got us down, we can hit reset through Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul said, "He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them." Then in verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. And so we consider living in Christ. That living a life in Christ, it's a challenge. It really is. You should never go into being a Christ follower thinking that this now will be a cakewalk. That this will be so much easier now. I got Jesus, my Savior, He loves me, and He's just going to make everything a bed of roses. No, it's a challenge. And why is it such a challenge? Because the old life is stubborn. The old life likes to hang around And the old life likes to drag you back in from living in that new life that has begun in Christ. And so the old life, it's always in the shadows. It's always calling, saying, hey, come back, come back. And we feel that internal struggle, that spiritual battle that we face in this life. And it's a real challenge. It's difficult. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He talked about this. And he used the metaphor of clothing. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about that you have been clothed in Christ. So throw out the old clothes and be clothed in Christ. But it's really tempting to keep the old clothes. Any hoarders? Anybody? It's really hard. That clothing, it went out of style a decade ago, but you're still hanging on to it. It was my favorite shirt. I can't get rid of it. And that's how we can be spiritually. We've been clothed in Christ, but we hold on to the old clothes. And Paul's telling the church in Ephesus, get rid of the old clothes. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Because now you're clothed in Christ. You're a new creation, a new person. So you can overcome the old life, but it's important to know where the old life comes from, to identify that. And so here's a few places it comes from. The first is my DNA. Now, I read an article called My DNA Made Me Do It. And you might be thinking, yeah, whatever, that's made up. That's someone using that as an excuse to do what they want to do. It talks about behavioral genetics. And as I read the article, it brought my mind back to Scripture that this does align with what the Bible says. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So thanks to great-grandpa Adam, way down the line, sin entered this world. And if you have been born, all of us been born? Yeah, nod your head, I've been born. All who have been born sin. It's in our genetics, it's in our DNA, it's a part of who we are. But Christ calls us to repent of that and to give our life to Him, that we don't have to live in that anymore, that old clothes, that old life, but we can be clothed in Christ, and it's Christ that covers that sin. And we don't have to live in that anymore. You've probably grown up and said, Mom did that. I saw Dad do this. I'll never do that in my life. That will not be who I am when I grow up. That's not how I'm going to live my life. It's not going to how I'm going to raise my kids. And you become an adult and you reflect and think, I'll do what my dad did. I never said I would. It happens. It happens because sin is a part of our life, but we don't have to live in it. But we can be clothed in Christ. We can come out of it. Those old clothes, they're hard to get rid of. And oftentimes we dismiss our behavior saying, well, it's just how I'm made. It's just who I am. It's just part of me. And God says it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be how you were made or who you are, because Christ has the power over that. But you have to choose to push aside the old so that the new can come, so that you can be clothed in Christ. Another place that our old self comes from is my environment. The city of Corinth, Paul clearly understood that the culture had a major influence on the church. That in the city of Corinth, this major city, that people were influenced. Those who were trying to follow Christ were influenced. And you and I, whether we want to admit it or not, we are influenced by our culture. We are discipled by our culture, if we let it. And we have to pay close attention to our environment and where we find ourselves. It's the law of exposure in psychology, that the more you're exposed to something, the more it shapes you. And that's your environment. And you have to be aware of what's going on around you and how it's influencing you. And it can chip away slowly, very slowly, and that influence can penetrate into our hearts, and it can become who we are if we're not careful, and we'll just live in the old life. Remember, that old life is tempting. It keeps calling us back. And we have to resist that and throw out those old clothes and continue to be clothed in Christ. I remember growing up, the Cardinals were never on television. We had WGN. Cub games were on all the time in the summer. And my neighbor was the kid I hung out with, who was a year older than me. He was a Cub. His family were Cub fans. And I was surrounded by the Cubs. And when I was a small kid, I kind of cheered for the Cubs. Ryan Sandberg and Andre Dawson and you know, Sean Dunst and those guys. And then I finally overcame that sin. I just had to do it. I overcame that sin and became a Cardinal fan, God's team. I'll stop. I'm getting ridiculous. But my point being, we can overcome our environment. And oftentimes we feel overwhelmed in our environment, whether that's in your home or with family or friends or at work. You can overcome your environment if you remain clothed in Christ. And you tell the old self, I don't think so. I'm not letting you influence me anymore. It's not worth it. And you keep that new clothes on and you get rid of that old clothes. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a familiar verse, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That word conform in the Greek language means molded. If something is molded, what does it do? It takes the shape of that mold. And then you're not going to change the shape of what was molded. And Paul is saying here, do not be molded to the pattern of this world, but remain clay in the potter's hands, allowing Jesus to influence your life more than the old life. And so we can overcome our environment. A third place where our identity comes from, our old life, is my pattern of decisions. Each and every day we go down a road of decision making. We have lots of choices to make each and every day that have major influences on our life. And oftentimes we think it's the big choices we make, but Satan loves to use the little decisions we make every day, because a lot of times we head down the wrong path making the smallest decisions and we just don't think much of it. And it slowly starts to take us down that road that leads to the old life. And so we have to be aware of the decisions that we make each and every day, and that behavior isn't changed overnight. But oftentimes it's gradual and it takes time, and it somewhat lulls us to sleep to the fact that we're headed back to the old life rather than staying close to the new life, being clothed in Christ. I was reading about a ministry in Los Angeles, the east side of Los Angeles. It's a ministry that's trying to help get gang members out of the gangs. And if you know anything about gangs, gang members get tattoos that are a symbol of their gang. And that's their identity to that gang. And one of the big things they're trying to do is to use laser removal of these tattoos. And I was reading that this one ministry that does this had a waiting list of over 1,000 gang members wanting to get out of that gang to have that identity removed. Why would they do that? Because that's going to help get them out of that environment so that they can take a new step, a new walk in life, a different path. And that's what Christ calls us to do each and every day, is to step out of the old life and into the new, into Christ. Paul says that the old is gone. And when he describes it that way, he's using a terminology in this ancient culture that talked about archaeology. And it referenced something being buried. He's saying the old is gone, the old life, you bury it to be seen no more so that you can live in Christ. But for many people, the old life is what you're constantly reminded of. It's how people see you. And you feel like, I want to get out of this, but no one gives me a chance. I'm always seen as the dropout, the quitter, the locked up, the person that slept around, the addicted, and so on and so forth. And that's how you feel that you're going to have to feel forever. But Paul says the old can be gone and the new can begin. And when we try to make changes in life, we often scramble. Okay, what are 4 or 5 steps that'll get me from point A to point B? It'll change my life quickly and it'll happen. But there's no step 4 or 5, none of that. The Bible teaches it's all about Jesus and what He can do for you. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and verse 21. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So it's only Jesus. There's no self-help. There's no 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. There's no plan A through Z. But it all begins and ends with Christ. He can reset our lives, and Jesus has paid the debt for our sins, which can cause new lives to begin. When He says that the old life has gone, the verb tense that's used in the Greek language here, it causes you to know that it points to something. Okay, the old life is gone. Why? It's all about the cross. The old life is gone because of the cross, because of what Christ did for us. And we can try really, really hard sometimes, and we could say, but it just feels like the old self is winning every single day. I have this area of my life I'm trying to hit reset on. I'm trying to allow Jesus to take it away, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm struggling here, and I'm trying, and it just feels like you're defeated, and you get frustrated. Well, here's what I know about struggling with sin. There's a difference between living in sin and struggling with sin. And sometimes this is a little bit foggy. Some of you have sin planned later today. And when sin is something planned and you're looking forward to it and you feel no remorse, then yeah, you're living in sin, whatever that might be. But there's a stark difference between living in sin and struggling with sin. Because as hard as you want to try, and as faithful as you feel you are, and as spiritual as you feel you are, as you feel that you are, you're going to struggle with sin. That's the human side of what goes on in our lives. But if we continually reach out to Christ and throw out those old clothes, and continue to be clothed in Christ, then you're taking the right path towards Christ. Here's something I want us to know this morning. It's on the screen. We are not who we were, but we are still becoming who we are. Have that in your mind this week. You're not who you used to be. Regardless of how old you are or what's happened in your life, you are not who you were, but you are still becoming who you are. And that's in Christ. A new life in Jesus, that's justification. He has justified you. But sanctification is what continually goes on each and every day of your life. And the power of the Holy Spirit continues to lead you and point you towards Jesus. That's his role. And just throw out the old clothes. The old is gone because of Jesus. And when you feel that sin is overwhelming, you ask Jesus to hit that reset button. And He can do it for you. Don't ever think, well, I'm just going to try to be a better person today. It won't work. You can't try to be a better person. You just ask for Jesus to hit that reset button in your life. You need a new life in Christ, not a reset of your own, not trying to just take a few extra steps to be a better person for the day. The Gospels are full of stories of people who hit reset with Jesus. The disciples. Jesus said, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They laid down their lives and they followed Jesus. The old was gone and the new came for them. The woman caught in adultery, brought before Jesus, the religious leaders ready to stone her to death. Jesus forgave her of her sins and said, go and sin no more. Her old life was gone, the new came because of Jesus. Jesus in John chapter 3 had a conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee at night. He came asking about the kingdom of God and how that's attained. And Jesus said, well, you need to be born again of water. We don't know what happened with Nicodemus, but I would imagine that sunk in. The old life was gone and the new came because of Jesus. Zacchaeus was a dirty, rotten scoundrel, stealing everybody's money as a tax collector. Jesus asked, can I come to your house today? And before the day was done, Jesus said that his life has been restored. That salvation has come to this man this day. Zacchaeus' old life was gone, and the new came. And so my hope is that we would be a church filled with people not thinking they can't overcome the difficulties of this world, that if I do that, I just got to be a better person. But we'd be filled with people who know it is just Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus each and every day. That the old life, it's buried, it's gone, it's done. The old clothes are thrown out. They will never be resurrected again. And I will continue to follow after Christ and be clothed in Him to the day that I die. And when life throws things into our life that are difficult, that we know we can hit the reset button, and it's not our power that has to do it, but it's Jesus each and every time. This morning we're singing a song of invitation, affording you the opportunity to respond, to make a decision. That maybe you're living your life and you know that you need something different, something more. And Jesus can give that. And we know that coming to Christ is a process, that we hear the Word of God, and you've heard it this morning, and that we then believe it. We connect it from our heart and our brain, and we believe it wholeheartedly. And we realize that we need a Savior because we believe what we read, and we realize, I've got to confess Christ and repent of my sins. And Acts 2:38 tells us, after the people heard what Peter had preached, that they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we offer you to make that choice this morning, the greatest decision you'll ever make. And most of us in this room have already made that decision. As we worship in this song in just a moment, you can go ahead and stand with me. Make a renewal with God as you sing this song, thanking Him for taking you from your old life and clothing you in Christ in a new life. And that He'll continue to do that for you every day. Let's worship.